So today's topic I want to discuss is the mental load.
The mental load, huh?
And I want to talk about this because I feel like it is coming up in half of my sessions every week. I feel like, I don't know, while I've been in group practice and now my own practice, like it's something that is getting more attention, but I think I want to kind of unpack and delve into what that is.
Okay, well, I'm assuming you're going to need to actually define that for me first, but then happy to do that.
So I'm literally going to read a definition to you because it is more succinct than I would be.
Yeah.
So the term mental load refers to the invisible, behind-the-scenes cognitive and emotional labor needed to manage a household, family, and daily life, encompassing tasks like planning, organizing, and remembering, often disproportionately carried by one person. It also gives a detailed breakdown. Planning and scheduling appointments, keeping track of bills, remembering birthdays and holidays, ensuring the pantry is stocked, coordinating childcare and school activities, planning meals and shopping lists, delegating and reminding others of tasks.
So are you just telling me all the good things that I've been doing?
Is yes. This, yeah. That's okay. The whole purpose of this podcast.
I love it. Let's talk about it. No, that's interesting. That is an interesting list.
And I think it gives language to a frustration that often happens in relationships.
Yes.
And so, sure, we have language, but then what do we do with that language?
Yes, that's good. Just to start from the beginning, though, I'm assuming what you're going to tell me is that women disproportionately carry more mental load in most relationships than men do. Is that?
That is what I'm going to tell you.
Okay. I assumed. Well,
okay.
Yeah.
You normally get to ask the questions, but my question to you is, what makes you assume that?
I've been in a relationship for 20 plus years. And I think I'll speak from my perspective. I think a lot of guys don't think about all the things that it takes to run a household because we're going to talk in generalities here, right? I mean, all the caveats, like this may not reflect how you function, but a lot of guys, you know, work, they're home, and then all of these things just sort of magically happen. Like the kids get places or, you know, signed up for football or, you know, that all of these things just kind of happen. And men, while they may be totally proactive in like dropping people off and carrying some of the load, men don't think about the mental load that it takes to make all of those things happen. They just sort of happen magically in some ways. Is that?
Yes. No, yeah. I just love that you keep saying magically because I feel like so many of my clients say like, my husband just thinks all of this stuff appears. Like, how does he think that it got here?
I can totally see it though. And I'm a very involved person. I've been the primary caretaker for many years of our children's lives. Yeah. And even when I was the primary caretaker, I still didn't carry the bulk of the mental load.
Yeah.
You still sort of told me where to go, you know, and like what to do. And I don't know what, I assume we're going to unpack why that is, but I could very easily see how most men would not understand what their partners carry on a day-in-day basis.
Yes. And so what I am seeing and have seen is it is a place where great resentment is built.
I could totally see that.
Because like you're doing all of this stuff that like, let's be honest, your children aren't recognizing like, thanks for signing me up. Yeah. Thanks for cooking dinner.
Actually, probably the opposite, like critiquing you for doing those things. You didn't sign me up on time. I wanted a different dinner. Yeah, let's not. That could be a different podcast episode. Let's write that one down.
And so I think there is an assumption of, well, my partner will recognize, acknowledge, support.
Sure. Yeah.
And when that doesn't come, I think resentment just starts to breed.
That is like the best breeding ground for resentment.
Yes.
I mean, I could see how that just goes through almost every relationship.
Yes. You don't see me.
Yeah. 100%.
Is what I think is unintentionally.
Yeah. And I feel like if the a lot of times the woman talks about how they don't feel seen. It can get like, oh, she's just nagging me. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like I could see this playing out over and over and over again.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I think, right, we have the language. We are, when we were having this pre-conversation, you were like, oh, does that lead to anxiety? Which, yes, I think it can. I think a lot of times it leads to feelings of overwhelm.
Yes. Okay. Can you? Yep. Go ahead. I have questions, but go ahead.
Okay. And so from that overwhelm, yes, there may be symptoms of anxiety. Okay. Often irritability follows. Because you're just frustrated. And, right, if you are already carrying this load and then I have to explain to you why I'm frustrated, it is just going to add to that resentment, frustration, overwhelm, all the things.
Well, then if it's not received,
yes,
how much more? I think you answered my question already, but the reason I immediately went to anxiety is just because that, like, checking all these boxes, like, feels a little anxiety provoking to me. Yes. Not even, you know. Yes. So you would say that mental load can lead to being overwhelmed, which is having, like, being wearing too many hats or something, or, you know, yes, and that would lead then to, could lead to anxiety.
Well, yes, or symptoms of anxiety, you know, that nervousness, spinny thoughts.
Yeah. Okay.
So
not
maybe,
sleeping.
No, yes. Yeah. So maybe not a anxiety diagnosis.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
I do think symptom of anxiety for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Because the other piece of this, again, in the work that I have done and the work that I'm doing, most of these women are also holding a full-time job.
Right.
In addition
to
the thing.
It's not like this is the only thing that you do. Even if it were.
Even if it were. It would still be so much.
Right.
I just think you're adding another realm.
Yeah.
Potentially other, you know, if you have some sort of management position, you're managing people at work. And then it feels like I'm managing people at home.
Yeah.
And I think none of us want to feel like we're managing a partner.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, when people talk about like, oh, well, I have, you know, 2.5 kids, my 2 kids and my husband. No, and I'm always like, oh gosh, that's
not
going
to work out long term.
So sure. Right. You may be listening and being like, yes, I carry the mental load. What do we do about it?
Sorry. Before we get there.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Is this just a modern phenomenon?
No, I actually did a whole deep dive.
Okay.
Last week on the mental load, and it's just been called different things in different generations.
Okay.
So emotional labor, emotional load. There's been like
four. We
didn't talk
about emotions before like 15 years ago, JJ. I'm fairly certain.
So, it hurts because it's true.
So what did they call it before emotions were discovered?
I don't know. Google it.
Okay.
Google the history.
Okay.
But really conceptually wasn't really focused on until like the early 80s.
Okay.
But there have been other iterations of this role that women hold and how do you articulate something that can't be quantified?
Yeah. Well, there's more women in the workforce, I assume, than, you know, generations before, right, in general. So I could see that just increases the demand, you know.
Yes.
So that definitely has a factor to play, right?
And like... Yeah. Kids are doing more.
Yeah,
School is demanding more.
Totally different.
Yes.
They used to just let us run wild in the neighborhood. Like, I didn't have parents for like, you know, 50 or 60 hours a week. easy, you know. I was just with my friends and we lived out in the country or whatever, so there wasn't as much. But like our kids never experienced that, or very rarely. And it's in like smaller chunks.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I also... There's just so many pieces to it that I think we can understand how we got here and what are we doing about it?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think we've been talking about the mental load probably almost a decade. And I feel like in the last couple of years, you have really embodied that. And then in the...
Yeah, I...
Your face is saying...
What I was thinking is, have I actually done anything about it, though? I mean, like, acknowledging it and doing something, I'm not sure if those correlate necessarily.
I think there's also, we're having more open communication, which has started with me being like, hey, I bet you have never thought about, and then I, like, play out a whole scenario, and you're like,
well, this happened with a band email this last week. We both get the band... the band emails, right? And so my default is, if there's something that I know I can just take care of, I probably will a lot of times, and I'll let you know. Yes. And that happens maybe 5-10% of the time. But the advantage that I have is I know that I can ignore that email and you will take care of it. So I have the choice of whether to take care of it and let you know, or just let it slide and you pick up the pieces.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel like band is a very specific. We were literally driving in the car and said, I filled out the band Google form because I assumed that you didn't. And you were like,
I don't know how to use Google forms. So
that's such a lie. You just see a band email and you're like, ugh.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
That's a different conversation. I just think there are these things, but because we can have a, like, I don't feel resentment around that because there's other stuff you do that I, like, just even in our house, like, I never think about the lawn getting mowed, or I don't, there's other things that you do.
I do things. Trust me.
I should have thought more. And you help with cooking and dishes. Oh, you do basically all of our laundry.
Yeah, okay. Okay. I do stuff.
And you do clean our house.
Tell me I'm
no, great. You tell do clean our house like every Friday to prep for the weekend and be ready. So you do things. I just should have prepped better what those things were. And I think because we're also in a different parenting season that our kids need less from us.
Less and more, though.
Yes.
More annoying stuff and less like hands-on feeding them food by hand, you know? But it's like all the annoying stuff just going everywhere and...
Or the... again, the emails.
It's just insane.
Insane.
I do not need a email twice weekly from every teacher for all three of my children. It's insane.
It is insane. So I think part of it is that we can have some kind of joking conversations around like, hey, I know you didn't do this thing because you hate those emails. Yeah. I did it. Yeah. There is a season in our parenting journey that I would have been like, I did the banned email because I know you didn't do it. Like a bit more resentful. And I think because we're in open conversation, it's easier to have some of those conversations.
Yeah, agree.
I think the other part is I know that you are a willing and open participant in conversation.
Yeah.
So for me with mental load, part of it is it's a loss of control to share some of these pieces, right?
Hold on. Unpack that. I think I know what you're saying, but can you unpack that?
Sure. Like, there are some women
like
the badge of honor of, I do all the things.
Okay. Yep.
But it's like holding these two things in tension of, I do all the things, and I'm resentful that my partner does not enter in.
But I don't want to let him because then he might do it incorrectly.
Do it wrong.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So I talk about this often. Like, I'm amazed at the number of people that we know who, like, one partner or the other does their own personal laundry because they don't like how the partner, the other person does it in the relationship.
Philosophy is, if it's done, I don't need to.
Who cares?
I don't need to determine how it's done.
Yes.
It's done, right?
And that is how we operate.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who don't operate.
They just can't. They need it
in that way.
Done a certain way. Makes sense. Makes sense.
And there's so many iterations of that. Yeah. How the house is cleaned, how the meal plan is, what, you know, whatever the thing is.
Sure.
So I have found, like, there is sometimes an annoyance to have to say, like, I need you to do this, and I'm going to have to explain to you how to do it because it's not a task you've done in our household before.
Yeah. A good example for me is going to the grocery store. I find at a grocery store, the thing is, It's a newer grocery store and I literally cannot find anything because I must be not bright or something. Like maybe you need an IQ test to be able to find something at the grocery store, but like it should be in a certain aisle, but it's just not there.
Yeah.
And you are more familiar with the grocery store. So every time I go, it takes me like twice as long.
Always.
Because I can't, and it's always like three things that I can't find. You know, it's not like the whole thing, but I don't know. I think somebody's like screwing with me, you know, just I mean, like moving
to be fair, our grocery store by our house is like moved, like they've remodeled and moved like three times since we've lived here.
I appreciate that, Grace.
And it's comical to me because I'm like, I don't understand how you can't find the things. And so that's just not a really, if we need a quick grocery run, I'm going to do it because it will be more efficient.
Right.
It's probably the only thing I do more efficiently than you do.
Now you're getting there, though. We're getting you more efficient.
Yeah, 20 years and I'm learning the value of efficiency. But I think part of that is, how do you let someone in? And that has been hard to do with a willing, capable, committed partner. Sure. I can't imagine trying to have some of these conversations with a partner who is unable to see the like unfairness, for lack of a better term, about the division of labor in a household.
So, golly. Yeah, that's heavy. That's a lot. So I think probably in my mind, first thing is just acknowledging that this is a thing.
Yes.
Maybe there's a lot of people in this situation, in, you know, both the husband and wife, we'll just say, that don't really realize that this is a thing. Correct?
Correct.
So maybe there's women sitting there being like, oh my gosh, I do deal with this. Or maybe there's guys that are like me and like, oh my goodness, she does deal with a lot of that. So that acknowledging, probably a good first step. And then
having a conversation. And I think having a kind and curious conversation and knowing yourself enough to know, like, am I at a place that I can have this conversation with my partner? Mm-hmm. If he has annoyed me today and I'm already frustrated with him, I should not go in and be like, let's see who does more here.
Yeah, it's like post spa day sort of situation, you know, where you have all your capacity for like, you know, having all the grace and kindness, right?
Yeah. And I think sometimes it's like a collab. Like I often, when I talk to women, I talk about how are you creating a collaborative conversation? So this isn't showing up and saying, I've kind of looked at the list. I feel like I'm doing, you know, 75% of things. You're doing 15% of the things and we share the other percent of things.
It's, you know, here's my list. Here's what I've assigned to you, right?
Yes.
Here's what I'm taking and good luck with that.
Yeah, right? I think it's having a conversation around like, what do you, I think even sometimes allowing your partner to say, what do you think I do, like, what would you name as my role? And then to even kind of insert some of these things of, hey, I see that I make most of the kids, you know, dentist appointments or doctor's appointments. Is that a piece that you could handle? And some of it like organically happens. You took somebody to the orthodontist.
Yeah, just kept going.
And just kept going. And now that's you schedule around your schedule and you make the orthodontist happen. Mm-hmm. And that's something that like we didn't have a conversation around. It just kind of organically happened.
Yeah. I wonder if a good starting point to this conversation, though, is not like, hey, you're not doing enough. I could see that being a big issue, right? It sets the partner on defense.
Yes.
Right. But a good starting point, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know emotions and stuff, but a good starting point could be, hey, I'm just feeling pretty overwhelmed right now. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is I'm taking on a lot, whether by necessity or by whatever it is. There doesn't have to be a villain, right?
Yes.
There can be, like, if you're expressing your feelings, right, that is such a disarming way to approach it, rather than kind of an attack
Yes.
From the front, correct?
Correct. Okay. And I think, again, to me, that goes back to collaboration. I am feeling so overwhelmed by what it takes to run this household. Could we evaluate where we're at? And how could you support? Like, I need your support.
Yeah. Or even if you had creative ideas, hey, this takes up a lot of my time, you know, is that something you'd be willing to do, you know, while I handle some of these other things? And because I could just see this getting really contentious, because I really do feel like most men are not being malicious about this. We literally don't know.
Yes.
I really and truly believe that. And so I think it's easy to be like, oh man, he's just a jerk, and like, you know, will not step into these things, and like already kind of answer these questions negatively for yourself. Does that make sense? Like,
well, I think you're creating a narrative
that
may not actually be true.
Right.
And so if you're writing a narrative that says he doesn't care, he's not supportive, he's not that whatever those things are, you are creating a narrative which can lead to harsh feelings.
Yeah.
And your poor husband is like, hey, you want to watch a show tonight? And you're like, no. And poor thing is like, I don't even know what I did, but I did something wrong. Well,
and over time, that disengages him.
Yes.
Because he's like, every time I try to do something nice, she like loses her mind at me. Why would I do this anymore? And it just like, these are the places. It's not the big stuff that like leads to relational strife. It's these little these smaller interactions over and over and over again. What you're teaching your partner how to treat you by the way you interact with them.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're biting his head off every time he does something, then he's going to learn not to approach you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's just one of those cycles you get into that's really hard to like find your way out of sometimes, I think.
Yes. And so I think as you are collaborative and thinking about how this load can be shared, like what it does not mean everything has to shift.
Right.
I think for us, like part of it was like recently I put the grocery app on your phone so that you can, I still do the menu plan grocery shopping in the app. And now I'm like, hey, this when the groceries are ready, I need you to pick them up and bring them home. It is one small thing and it's a huge, to me, it makes a huge difference.
For sure. And it could not be easier for me. So I'm happy to to go park.
Right. But I think sometimes we think like, oh my gosh, it feels too overwhelming to even change this thing that we've been doing. And it's like, it's just tweaking.
Yeah. What are the creative? I think so much of life is the creative tweaking. Like, this isn't working. How can we come up with a creative solution and just try something new? Yes. Maybe it doesn't work. You know, maybe for whatever reason, I can't think of a reason I couldn't pick up groceries. I'm sure there's whatever, but that's just such a small creative tweak that isn't like, hey, you need to do groceries now.
Right.
It's, can you help with this aspect of groceries?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And then I think also recognizing, I think I had a job, at a hospital and my coworkers would often, you know, we were all parenting little kids and there was so much around, I hate asking my husband to do this because he does it wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that language furthers the narrative.
Mm.
When I talk about how we do things is it's different.
Yeah.
Which just changes it because it is different.
Yeah.
We are different people and how we approach most things is different. And so if I give you a piece of this and I'm like, ugh, he's doing it wrong, I may want to take that piece back. I may have further resentment of I tried to get your help and you couldn't do it. I think going into this with the assumption of my partner is going to do things different, than I do them, different is not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a hard lesson to learn. Letting go of control might be one of the hardest things you could do.
And how is letting go of control helping you feel less overwhelmed, helping you engage more fully with your, you know, family. And there's so many ways. I listened to a podcast that like does listener questions, and they talked about every year they only have two children, but it's a two-parent home, and each parent is responsible for kid emails and school stuff for the year.
Oh, interesting.
And so like you just don't worry about, like, if you have kid A, you don't have to worry anything about kid B because the other parent is solely responsible. Mm, like,
it's interesting.
Is that what would work for, like, again, this, how are there creative, collaborative ways that you can start a conversation and then talk about, you know, what supports you need? And with the awareness of it shifts. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, I think it's always little things. I think the thing though is like, what if this whole conversation is just not well received? Is it?
I mean, I think that's a real thing. I think there are women who are seeing me in therapy because they're not sure how to move forward in a relationship where they are not feeling supported.
Yeah.
And that is so real. And I think then you may, how do you get support in other places? Sometimes that is, I'm trying to have this conversation. It's not being received. Things are going to have to just be missed.
Yeah.
There may be services that I choose to pay for because I don't have the capacity to do that thing anymore.
Yeah.
And so if you are listening and you feel like I've had the conversation again and again and again, what work can you be doing to manage your own resentment? Mm. Whether in therapy or with friends, I do think this is a really appropriate time to go to therapy.
Yeah. I mean, would this be a couples counseling situation, or is this like maybe you do some work and then see how things go, or
potentially, or both?
Both. Okay.
Gotcha. I also think sometimes our nature is to turn to friends and family, who can be supports. I also think sometimes we are continuing a narrative about our partner. And then when we rectify that issue, we're like, good to go, love them so much. And our friends or our family members have held on to that negative narrative that we have written about this person, and they may be less receptive to them moving forward. Just like an aside of, be mindful how you talk about people.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And so I do think, yes, it may get to a point of couples counseling. And if your partner isn't willing, able, open to engagement about this conversation, the jump to couples counseling may be way too big.
Yeah.
And so, again, I think this is why I end up seeing so many of the women that, not solely mental load, but there is a relational strain that they're trying to navigate. And sometimes it's, I've been trying to have a conversation about this thing, and through therapy, I've realized it's actually about this completely different thing. And husband is, you know, more receptive to this other new conversation. And so I think sometimes as we do our own work or realizing maybe there's pieces that I'm holding on the mental load that no one has asked me to hold on to.
Ooh. That's good.
Well,
that's real right there. But we never think about it because it's so part of us, right? Yes. This is what we do. And so we just keep going, and it's like, but nobody really asked you to do that.
And sometimes maybe no one needs you to do that, or that it doesn't need the same time, attention, care that you are giving to that part of your mental load. And so, you know, maybe before you even get to the conversation of mental load, like, what am I carrying? Because you may have been listening and been like, I don't know that that's for me. And you sit down and reflect and you're like, oh, there are some pieces of our home, family, you know, relational life that I'm carrying that I didn't even realize. And sometimes, I mean, I would say most of the time, I'm really comfortable with the load that I'm carrying. I also think, like, you are attuned enough to me that you can name, like, you seem stressed. How can I help?
Sure.
And so it's giving me the freedom to say, like, actually, I'm not making dinner tonight. We're reheating the soup in the fridge. Or you will say, like, hey, this seems like a lot for you. I'm making dinner tonight.
Or we're going out.
Yeah, that's actually my favorite. but I do think some of it is just that you can know, like, oh, you normally you manage this well. I mean, I think the other piece to this, you have really grown in your acknowledgement of things that I do. And sometimes that's all I need. Like, I don't need you always to do more, but to just acknowledge, like, this thing happened because you did the work to make it happen. And I appreciate that. I'm like, cool, thanks. I did work to make it happen. Yeah. Thanks for noticing.
No, that's good. I think that's helpful. So wild that, I mean, it's a concept that's like very simple, but kind of mind blowing in relationships, you know? And so it's, I wonder how many people are out there not even like kind of thinking about this as maybe one of those places of resentment that's really trapped them, you know? Yeah. I think it's good.
I do. I do think, you know, I have lots of thoughts about mental health and social media. And I do think post images, charts kind of about mental load are starting the conversation. I just think there's not enough around how are we continuing the conversation? What are the behaviors that need to change? Sometimes I feel like it's kind of this like, is this another way to be resentful to your partner? Look what I saw on Instagram.
Well, I mean, how much is social media itself contributing to mental load and how much you're taking in and, you know,
and what everybody else's and, partner's yeah, doing. I mean,
there's an aspect of mental load that's like, I'm not good enough. You know, I've got to be doing this and this and this to put this on Instagram. You know, it's just, there's a lot. It's a lot going
there's
on.
There's a lot going on. And so, I mean, I hope if nothing else, this creates conversation in your relationship to say, like, is this feeling like we are sharing the mental load together?
Yeah. Great. Yeah, I think we nailed it. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about?
I mean,
about?
I think that's okay. That's all.
I thought it was awesome.
I hope you enjoyed today's conversation about the mental load. I'd love to continue the conversation on social media. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Counseling With, or shoot me an email from my website, counselingwith.com.